Live from New York City, it's the Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null.
Hi, everyone. Excuse me. Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null. We have a really power-packed show today. We're going to talk about the health benefits of beetroot, lowering your lipids, the bad lipid levels, with a particular seed, and how massage can improve the blood flow while easing muscle soreness. A very popular antidepressant may promote breast cancer. A study finds large increase in type 1 and type 2 diabetes among the American youth. Why? More in-depth look at the omega-7 fatty acids in metabolic syndrome. A grape-enriched diet supports your eye health. And a lot more on health and nutrition. Then from our environmental segment today, we have a lot of in-depth information, including climate change doomed the ancients. This is from Eric Klein, the New York Times, and it's a very interesting piece, taking us clear back to previous civilizations that were victims. Also today from Michael Snyder, the Dust Bowl conditions have returned to Kansas, Oklahoma, and northern Texas. And then alternative fuels, the latest on this from Christina Sarich. We're turning to algae, and we're making algae into usable fuel in less than an hour. So we'll share that with you. From our public health segment today, five facts on cancer that your conventional doctor is either unaware of or the cancer community is aggressively claiming are just myths from Prevent Disease. No, I've spent a lot of time on this topic, thousands of hours, produced four documentaries, written probably 30 articles. So we'll revisit today why listening to or accepting without challenge information that could affect our lives from the orthodox medical community and their supporters in the media is dangerous to your health. We will deconstruct the myths about cancer today. My guest in the second part of our program today will be a continuation, and hence it'll be a half hour, Conversations with Remarkable Minds. Marianne Williamson from Southern California. The theme, bringing higher moral and spiritual ethics back into politics. Now, I believe that Jill Stein did that. Rocky Anderson did it. Ralph Nader's done it. There have been many who've done it. Unfortunately, they have not been given any attention or credit by those in control of the corporate Democrat and Republican sides. So let's see what happens when I ask her some hard-hitting issues. Every one of these are going to be 120-mile-an-hour fastballs. And we'll show you the difference when there's no spin. Just tell us the truth. We don't need explanations, just we need the truth. So you won't want to miss that, and you'll let people know that that's coming. Now, I won't be able to get everything I wanted to in today's show, so my Sunday evening show, it's 8 o'clock, I'm going to talk about endless war, five disturbing things in America's military budget that we're not aware of. You should be. Also, an in-depth discussion on don't be fooled by conspiracy theory smears. There's a whole campaign on Wikipedia, skeptics. Well, we've gone a little step further. For the last 6 months, we've been investigating the backgrounds of these skeptics. In fact, we've come up with some really unusual documentation of who these people are, who they're affiliated with. In one case, who's actually from the AIDS community paying the person's bills while they live in their mother's basement and spend all day on the computer. Also, we're going to deal with Big Pharma and the Gates, Bill Gates Foundation, making human guinea pigs out of the populations of third world countries, all for the drug makers. And those are just some of the issues we'll be dealing with. Let's begin. For those of you who like to have a lot of energy after an exercise, there's one really good thing you can take, beetroot. It's also simply known as beet, because beets are root vegetables. And it's been gaining in popularity as a new superfood. And that's because a lot of studies have shown that beets and beetroot juice, meaning you simply juice the beet, can improve athletic performance, lower blood pressure, increase blood flow, and are all very natural and healthy. So when you have some beets, now just a regular beet is not easy to eat, and it's very hard. It's best to get a pickled beet, which gives you the bacteria if it's naturally pickled, or you can steam the beet and then cool it, meaning running cold water over it, and put it in the fridge, and then you can marinate it. And mainly we use what are called sugar beets, the Beta vulgaris, and they're nutritionally different. Sugar beets are white in color and commonly used for sugar extraction, and you don't want those. But sugar cannot be obtained from beetroot, which are most commonly found to be red and some golden. And one cup of beets contains only 53 calories. It has low amount of sugar, 4 grams of fiber, 2 grams of protein, lots of vitamin A and calcium and iron, folic acid, esfolate, manganese, thiamine, B6, betaine, potassium, zinc, copper, selenium. It's also high in one particular naturally occurring nutrient called nitrate. And that is the reason that it has so many health potentials. Now, possibly by having more beets in a salad, and that's easy to do, or juicing beets, and I would juice the beet with green apple. That's a great combination. You're consuming then more vegetables, and that reduces the risk of many lifestyle conditions in overall obesity, diabetes, heart disease, helps you with your complexion, helps with hair, increases your energy. Just give you one example. There was a peer-reviewed published publication, Hypertension, a study where they examined ingesting beetroot juice in healthy volunteers and found that blood pressure was significantly lower after they drank it. And that's because of the nitrate, which it allows for greater expansion within the arterial complex and greater circulation. Another study done in 2010 found similar results that drinking beetroot juice, or just beet juice, lowered blood pressure considerably. Then it helps with dementia. You have no idea how many people in this audience have parents or grandparents suffering from dementia. It's into the thousands, just in this audience. By the way, in the fall, after I finish premiering around the world, in fact, the new documentary and 13-part television series on poverty. And I'm going to stream it also, so those people can watch it who want to over the internet. Still filming, and got a whole team working every day in the office, sometimes two groups, one in the morning and then one late at night into the early morning, because this is without question one of the single most important issues that we're faced today. But what I find is that everywhere you go, you'll find people who have someone who is losing their memory. And the poorer you are, the poorer your food selections, the more rapid that becomes. A study done at Wake Forest University found that drinking juice from beetroot can improve oxygenation to the brain, slowing the progression of dementia. And the director of the Wake Forest Translational Science Center showed that blood flow to certain areas of the brain decreased with age and leads to a decline in cognition and possible dementia. When you consider that beetroot or beets can increase with high levels of nitrate, that improves the flow of blood and the oxygenation to these areas. That's why it helps. And then it helps with diabetics and pre-diabetics, because it has alpha-lipoic acid, and that's been shown to lower glucose levels, increase insulin sensitivity, and prevent oxidative stress-induced changes in patients with diabetes. We also know that alpha-lipoic acid has been shown to decrease the peripheral neuropathy and autonomic neuropathy in diabetics. We also know that beets improve digestion and regularity, and it turns down inflammation. Now, choline, C-H-O-L-I-N-E, very important and versatile nutrient in beetroot that helps with sleep, muscle movement, learning, and memory. And choline also helps to maintain the structure of cellular membranes. It aids in the transmission of nerve impulses. It assists in the absorption of fat and reduces chronic inflammation. And of course, as an athlete, in fact, I'm starting in another 2 months to do world training, meaning I'm 2015 in August is the World Games, and I'll be training for 12 months. And it's just like in the movie Rocky, 6 hours a day of intense training, up to 20 miles a day on the road, then in the gym, the VersaClimber, the weights, swimming, laps. And you got to do that if you want to get in, even to qualify, let alone win. I've won gold and a silver in the last two, so I'm putting it all out into this new one. But I'll be taking beet juice every day. I'll take other things as well. I'll blend the beet juice with coconut water, so I'm really getting a lot of potassium in the body. So if you're going out for an exercise, let's say you're going out for a walk, anything longer than 5 miles, then you want that extra glucose from a natural source. So cut a cup of coconut water with beet juice. That will give you the nitric oxide, nitrate that you need, and that will give you the endurance and help oxygenate the blood. So that's how I would do it. All right? And good bacteria. It's also a probiotic. It was about 10 years ago that a physician from Lebanon was sitting with me in the office, and he wanted to know would I make a visit over there if he lined it up and at the university. And he said that the Lebanese people are very much into health, and he went over some of their traditional dishes and organic farming and olives, which some olive trees over there, some amongst the oldest olive trees in the world. And indeed, the Lebanese have some of the finest dishes and vegetables and fruits. And I gave him a, at that time, I could not make that trip because my schedule wouldn't permit it. But he said, look into black seeds, because he had been bringing black seeds from India and making an oil out of it and giving it to his patients. So I looked into it. There wasn't a lot on it now then, but boy, is there a lot on it now. Black seeds are extremely important. Here is what black seeds can do. And this is from Green Med Info from Dr. Ali Hansen. It can help your cholesterol. Now, we know that cholesterol is a lipid molecule vital for life. It's required to build the membrane of each cell in our bodies, and it's also for synthesis of vitamin D and a number of very important steroid hormones. Well, hypercholesterolemia, which is a condition which blood cholesterol level is elevated, and that affects a lot of Americans, tens of millions, and it is a risk factor for heart disease, and generally that comes from a high-fat diet and being sedentary, and sometimes genes. So there are a number of studies that show that black seed oil, the nigella, N-I-G-E-L-L-A, sativa, S-A-T-I-V-A, has a beneficial effect on blood lipids, meaning it reduces your cholesterol and low-density lipoproteins and increases the good high-density lipoproteins. And so all you have to do is look at the studies. Lots of studies. Good quality. This is just one study. I'll give you an example. This is, the quote, the effects of 8-week nigella sativa supplementation and aerobic training on lipid profile in VOX2 max in sedentary overweight females. The study examined the effects of 2 grams of crushed nigella sativa daily in combination with aerobic training program for 3 times a week on lipid profile in sedentary overweight females. The control group took a placebo and participated in the training program. The trial ran for 8 weeks. Blood lipids in addition to maximal oxygen consumption were determined at baseline at the end of the trial. The results showed that taking daily crushed black seed had an increased reduction in total cholesterol, triglycerides, low-density lipoproteins, and body mass index. That means fat. Now, I just read you the the actual scientific, this is the kind of stuff I read by the thousands to extrapolate what I can then put into lay language. But the science is there, and there's dozens of studies on this. So one more reason to eat the black seed, but more importantly, to get the black seed oil. And in my opinion, the best black seed oil ever is black cumin seed oil. It can turn off inflammation in the brain, the heart. If you have any kind of heart infection, heart inflammation, if you have stenosis, if you have diverticulitis, spastic colon, Crohn's disease, irritable bowel syndrome, if you have arthritis, bursitis, cataracts, diabetes, black cumin seed oil. All right, the science is there. Now, a lot of times, we as a society do not take the time to relax and just get a massage. I believe you should. This is the latest from Health Day News. Quote, massage therapy can help ease sore muscles, improve blood flow for people who are active, as well as those who do not exercise. Those effects can last for more than 72 hours. People with poor circulation or limited ability to move are among those who could benefit most from massage therapy. Quote, our study validates the value of massage in exercise and injury, which has been previously recognized, but based on minimal data. And this was done by a doctoral fellow in physical therapy at the University of Illinois at Chicago. Quote, it also suggests the value of massage outside of the context of exercise. So, one more reason. It doesn't cost much. In fact, I have found that this was published in the peer-reviewed journal of Archives of Physical Medicine and Rehabilitation. I have found that by getting reflexology, that's especially important if you're tight in any part of your body, your neck, your upper shoulders, your chest, your lower back. By massaging different parts on the feet, there's trigger points that will correspond between your toes, the ball of the foot, and the arch, and the foot, and the heel, to different areas and glands in the body. So it's very, very good for you. From the Alliance of Natural Health. Even worse, it's frequently prescribed to the most at-risk group, women in their 40s and 50s. That's according to the study. It shows that a popular antidepressant may promote breast cancer. Now, you've heard me talk about the dangers of selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors. In fact, just 3 weeks ago, I published an article online called Manufacturing Madness. In that article, I deconstructed every single therapy currently used in psychiatry. I took on all the most popular drugs and showed they're fraudulent, they're dangerous, they don't work. And I put all the scientific references to these statements. And then I handed out a copy of the article to hundreds of people at the demonstration against the American Psychiatric Association, where I was keynote speaker across from the Javits Center 3 weeks ago Sunday. I just want you to know that you should really think twice about starting any of the selective serotonin reuptake inhibiting antidepressants. This article shows you one more reason why you should be concerned. And a meta-analysis of 5 studies published in the current issue of Anti-Cancer Research found that patients diagnosed with breast cancer who had high vitamin D levels were twice as likely to survive comparing to women with low levels. But also, when they start looking at studies and found out that those taking the antidepressants are more likely to get breast cancer, then you have to be extremely concerned. So, if you're depressed, seek holistic psychotherapy, psychologist, psychiatry if it's holistic. But I would stay away from the right prescription because that could put you at risk. And finally, on health and nutrition, there's a new study about eating watermelon rinds, the rind of the watermelon. Boy, here's where it's got to be organic. And it boosts libido and provides other health benefits. I found this very interesting. We dispose of a lot of food in the United States. How much do you think that we wasted last year? Food that we didn't eat, we threw away. $165 billion annually from disposing food. And yet there's benefits to some of that stuff we're throwing away. Here's what eating watermelon rind, according to this particular report, has to say. Quote, from the Journal of Science of Food and Agriculture, it helps fight free radicals. Citrulline is a compound found in the watermelon rind and plays a role in banishing free radicals, meaning it traps the free radicals, neutralizes them. It's converted to an amino acid that ultimately provides heart and immune system protection and keeps harmful toxins from residing in the body. Now, the first time I saw anyone using watermelon rinds was Dr. Bernard Jensen. Anyone in the audience know Dr. Bernard Jensen? He was a wonderful human being, kind and thoughtful and cheerful, always had a smile, always willing to help the people. He had a nice little homestead out in California. And here I had little to no experience. I was a complete novice. But I felt that if I was going to do anything in health nutrition, I better start by talking with the people who've been around a long time, my seniors who knew something. And there were those seniors who didn't want to help, Carlton Fredericks, who were indifferent, Adele Davis. Nice, nice woman. She reminded me of everyone's grandmother, but my God, when I looked at her, died out of it. Whoa, I'm not touching that. And then there were those who were just purely in it for the money. But then you found Gaylord Houser. He had been the nutritionist to the stars of Hollywood. A very sophisticated man. And I met him in Hollywood. And he says, someday, you know, there'll be a new group of stars. But right now, he said, the stars are not interested in this. Not like Gloria Swanson. And I would then the next year meet Gloria Swanson, working on a project that put health foods into the cafeteria system in New York City schools. And we became friends. And she was tiny, but just vital energy, dynamic energy. And I've told this story many times to some people. If you haven't heard this, I think you'd find it interesting. It was Gloria Swanson and working with her on trying to create the right diet, which I was working on for the school system. And she had heard that I'd gotten healthy menus into some of the New York City schools, because I had a lot of school teachers and principals listening to my show, mainly on ABC, but also on WBAI. And so we spoke, and she said, would you like to help? She's a very direct person, no chit-chat, just everything was direct. And I said, sure. Well, when can you have the diet? Well, today. Okay, I'll come by, we'll take a look at it. And that's what she did. She was a really get-the-job-done kind of person. So anyhow, we worked on that project, and it was pretty successful. And then she said, I have some friends who are not doing well. They're out of the movie business now. They're aged. They're sick. Is there anything you can do to help them? She said, now, when I was young, I worked with Gaylord Houser. I said, I met Mr. Houser. He's a wonderful person. Oh, you have no idea. He would make fresh juice and bring it to the set. And everyone thought I was a fool and are eccentric, and all those people are dead. She said, I'm still going strong, and she did. In any case, her husband, Duffy, wrote what was probably the finest book on sugar that became a bestseller, Sugar Blues, and that caused millions of Americans to make a great turn off of sugar. So he made a major contribution, and he was a nice guy, by the way. Very, very upbeat and positive person. So then I started to meet these old legends of Hollywood, and they all had a friend, and that friend had a friend, and everyone had a friend. Within 2 years, there must have been 500 or 600, and these were all the marquee people in the history of Hollywood. I mean, everyone that you've ever seen in a film, and yet here they were, long retired, and wanting to get healthy again. And that was one of the biggest joys of my life, is seeing people turn their health around. And a lot of them did. In any case, when I was out there in Hollywood, I drove down to his place, and here was this robust older man and Dr. Jensen. And he comes up, he says, You had a long trip? I said, it's fine. I'm fine. He said, well, let's have something to cool off with. He hands me this big glass. It was like a 30-ounce glass. It was huge. And it was cold. And he said, hope you don't mind. I threw some ice in there and blended it up. And I said, no, that'll be very refreshing. And we sat at a table and he had a big bowl of lemons. And he just kept taking these lemons and squeezing them and putting them in the juice. He'd cut the end, squeeze, and juice it. He said, help yourself. I got a lot of lemon trees. And I said, what is this? I'm not used to this taste. Watermelon rind. I juice it all. Watermelon, the seed, that watermelon seed is as good as sunflower seeds, good as pumpkin seeds. Yet we don't need it, and we should. Every person I put through my program, I give them watermelon rind. Cleans them right out. Rejuvenates them. You start to see it in their mouth, the tongue that is all mucousy and slimy. In about a week of using this, their tongue gets cleaned up, and the mucus is out of there, and the yeast is out of there, and they got a nice pink tongue, and they wake up in the morning and tell me they got better breath in the morning. They don't have bad breath. So I spent the whole day with Bernard Jensen. And I was very fortunate that I was the youngest person in that group, and there was no one between myself and these senior citizens. Now, no other field do you have no one to hand a baton to. And so I spent 2 years just traveling and meeting Pavel Airola, another great person. So we, myself included, we have our own unique personalities, and we have our own ideas. But don't for a second think that anyone who is successful did it on their own. That's just ego. That's narcissism. We all owe a debt, myself included, and specifically to all those who were the inspiration to show what could be done because they had done it before anyone else. Pavel Airola, Dr. Walker, Paul Hoffman, Bob Hoffman, Bernard Jensen, I believe his daughter's still alive, and Herbert Shelton down in, he wasn't the easiest person to get along with, and he was really an extremist. Man, he would fast until he almost died. His idea is, we'll fast until the body reabsorbs this or you die. And I said, well, that's not very cool because some people are going to die. He said, well, they're going to die anyhow because the only people he sees are trouble. And I said, but still. And he just put the metal to the pedal to the floor, and it just zipped. He went at it. But I did see people who reversed their disease. I saw people having strange colors come out of their skin. And clearly that was toxins. So, and the smells because of the pharmaceuticals coming out. Just a little aside there. So that where my little brain went when I was sharing this on watermelon rind, because we don't need it. Make sure it's organic. But it also boosts libido. Researchers from Texas A&M Fruit and Vegetable Improvement Center have noted that citrulline helps blood vessels relax and can help with erectile dysfunction. And that'd be a good ad. Show a watermelon. And you're holding the watermelon with a smile. And Bob over there, he's holding his, what is that little pet pill? What is that called? I debated against that some time ago. Not Vioxx. Anyhow, you know which one I'm talking about for erectile dysfunction. Say, this is natural. That's not. Weight loss. Once again, studies show that consuming the citrulline leads to a substantial weight loss. So that's the latest on health and nutrition. I'm Gary Nall. We're going to save a lot of the rest for my next show on Sunday night at 8 p.m. on what's called Talk Back, all about health and phone calls. We're going to take a break, come back, and I want to give plenty of time to my guest. Please stay with us.
It's my last chance for us.
I'm Gary Knoll. We'd like to thank all of the affiliate stations in the United States, all the people listening all over the world who tune in each day at this time or download the program. I just got the latest statistics, and I believe it was 8 million people came on board last week. That's just in 1 week. I just saw today where Fox has dropped a huge number of audience, MSNBC down, CNN down. The internet is the future, and we're number one in the world as an internet radio program. We've got a whole lot of people. Now, who listen? Why? Because we don't represent the corporate left or the corporate right. If you listen to my lecture on Saturday at the March Against Monsanto, I said the cancer in America is the Democrat and Republican parties. It is the independent that can help us. But then you have to be an independent who also has the real ideas. My guest in a few moments will share her ideas of what it means to bring a higher moral and spiritual ethic back into politics. And this is what we need. Marianne Williamson, we'll go to her in just a moment. And by the way, you can now watch the highlights of the March Against Monsanto, where 5 million of us, with no real organization, just based upon sharing at a grassroots level, marched around the world and spoke out against Monsanto. People articulated their concerns. I had my camera crew there. We filmed it. We edited it. It's 37 minutes. You can watch it. Go to blog.garynoll.com. I think it's garynoll.com. I'll ask them to tell me in New York in a second. If not, just go to Gary Knoll and you can get there. And it's also up on YouTube, Gary Knoll on YouTube. And you can see this. You can also see the demonstration from the March Against Psychiatry there as well. We're going to take just 2 minutes here, real quick, to say hello to Luann Panessi. Hi, Luann.
Hello, Gary.
Luann is, of course, a holistic nurse who left a very responsible position with over 100 employees as head of a nursing administration at Long Island Jewish Hospital, where she'd been for 18 years. She's a 38-year practicing oncological nurse to become a holistic practitioner, educator, and join the members of the few thousand holistic nurses in the United States, as there are now holistic chiropractors by the thousands. There are holistic physicians and dentists, like Armar Gadol, New York. There's holistic dietitians like Dolores Perry. So there's regular straights, and then there's the holistic. Now, to help WBAI, our sister station where we're on right now, I've been for 38 years, we're doing a retreat, and it is going to be the most remarkable retreat we've ever done. First, I've gotten 20 people to volunteer, 20 to 25 people as staff. And we're bringing people in from around the United States who are outstanding in their field. Mitchell Rabin and others to help with. We have 4 chefs alone. Vegan gourmet cooking, raw food classes, gluten-free, sugar-free desserts, sprouting, microgreens, organic gardening and sustainable agriculture. All kinds of water aerobics, soaking in the mineral baths, power walking classes, exercise specific to your own needs in the gym, lectures, and Luann's counseling. So from cooking classes, juicing in all day long, great gourmet meal, beautiful presentations, and the most beautiful environment you could ever imagine. Lake, swans, quiet, that's it. So if you want to come, and it's a fundraiser for BAI because I'm donating my time for free, because these other people are donating their time for free, it would normally cost probably $10,000 a week, which is minimal, but now it's only costing $2,000 to support this station. So Luann, give your phone number because we only have one or two places left as of this morning.
So. Yeah, we were full up, and I had one woman that hurt her knee. and she's got to go for surgery. I had somebody else that had a family member fall ill, so we're opening up their spots. And if you're interested, call me at 631-504-6198. Again, 631-504-6198. Shaping up to be just one of the best retreats you've ever had, Gary.
I'm looking forward to it, and I'll be there the entire time. I'll be doing one day. I always do the cooking one day, and I do a special dessert one day for everyone. And I want to I show people how to make a gourmet cheesecake with no dairy, no sugar, no wheat, and yet you could not tell that it's not a cherry cream cheesecake with a beautiful topping on top. All natural, all raw. So the idea that you have to eat the tasty junk food is not true. We can eat tasty, delicious, gourmet, raw, healthy, organic, and low-calorie food. So we'll be doing that as well. And even all the different exciting juices we make each day to make it interesting. Give your number out one more time, Luann.
Surely. It's 631-504-6198. That's 631-504-6198. Give me a call.
Okay. Now let's go over and say hello to my guest who's standing by now, Marianne Williamson. And nice to have you with us today, Marianne.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. It's nice being here.
Marianne has been a prestigious international spiritual teacher and author for over 30 years. She's currently running for Congress, representing the Santa Monica, California 33rd Congressional District as an independent. And her campaign has been endorsed by Alan Grayson, who we've had on this program, and Keith Ellison, Dennis Kucinich, Jesse Ventura, Van Jones, and other progressive leaders. You never hear me do political issues with politicians, rare, unless there's something specific that they're engaged in I'd like to debate them on. But I'm concerned that we're only looking at the corporatized Democratic Republican agenda. So Marianne, and by the way, Marianne's also the author of 6 New York Times bestsellers, including Healing the Soul of America. In the past, I brought on independent and third-party candidates on this program, with exception of Representatives Grayson and Kucinich, who appear on this program occasionally. Right now, I observe U.S. federal governance degenerating into its worst form in our entire history. And when Representative Alan Grayson was on the program several months ago, he was very candid and outspoken that we are now an uncontrollable police and corporate security state that is leaning towards fascism. Both corporate Democrat and corporate Republicans, most notably this current White House, continue to favor multinational corporations and finance interests over the needs of Americans, even though these very same banks and corporations hold no strong allegiance to the progress and well-being of the nation and our citizenry. So when Goldman was challenged once with increased federal oversight, they simply barked back that they could just as easily move their operations to another country. And that is why we call these CEOs and presidents and chairmen of banks and huge industrial firms transnationalists. They hold no fidelity to any nation and simply pursue a doctrine of one global corporate process, above the laws of nations, to engage in unhindered speculative investment, free trade, and global profiteering. So please take your time and give us your insights on some of the spiritual observations into what you believe the U.S. has become and what have been the primary causes for us getting there. In addition to the economic debt, there's also the deep moral and ethical deficit that our country faces.
I wish I disagreed with you. I wish I could find one thing about which I would say, oh, Gary, it's not that bad. I would rather say that what you just articulated is why I'm running for Congress. The good news, the only good news that I can find in any of what you just said, is that I feel more and more people are waking up to it, that this is no longer considered the, you know, diatribes of just crazy paranoid left-wingers or crazy paranoid right-wingers with some of that, but rather it's in the zeitgeist. And I think that my candidacy and the, you know, the success of my candidacy becoming as credible as it is, it's considered to be neck and neck with the establishment candidates, is an example of that. I agree with everything you said. We, you know, Princeton University put out a paper the other day that we are not a democracy. We're functioning as an oligarchy. And the central theme of my campaign has been, you don't mock the Gettysburg Address and just not discuss it. And I think that there are many fascinating characterological facets of the American mind historically that would argue that even though Americans are sometimes late to waking up to an issue, once we do wake up to an issue, we're on it. And I think that something very powerful is beginning in America today, because there's enough energy. It's that whole psychological dynamic of critical mass. Everything that you just said, you look at someone like Grayson, you look at all the organizations, all the people who have been saying exactly the message that you just said. I mean, what you just said is like exactly what I'm saying. You know, these aren't like opinions so much as descriptions at this point of what is happening. And I feel that in the last year or so, something is coming together. I was reading a book called The Invention of Wings. It's Sue Monk Kidd's latest book. And it's about two historical figures who were famous abolitionists, and one of them actually, they were called the Grimke sisters, one of them actually wrote the first feminist manifesto. And what's fascinating about them is that they were born into a well-to-do slave-owning family in the early 1800s in Charleston, South Carolina. And what the book is about is the psychological and emotional and even spiritual journey that people living in the South, such as they, had to go through to become abolitionists. And it really makes you realize how much has to go on inside enough people before something externalizes in a way that we would call a political movement. And I think that's what's been happening, Gary. I think over the last few years, enough of us have been watching, have been listening, and it's now at a point where we can't, like, remain silent. This is our democracy that's being dismantled in front of us. You know, when you have shrinking civil liberties, when you have domestic surveillance, when you have you know, enough children with asthma and enough people with cancer and mere incremental change when it comes to the global climate crisis at a time when we need fundamental change, and we see incremental change, if that, when it comes to the corruption of our food supply, when we need fundamental change, when you see incremental change when it comes to health care at a time when we need fundamental change, when you see the highest mass incarceration rate in the world, when you see the second highest child poverty rate, when you see student loan debt exceeding our credit card debt, at a certain point, enough people say, what the hell is going on here? And I feel that this is a wave, and I feel that this is a very, very pregnant moment.
One issue, Marianne, that is absent from the halls of Congress is a realistic effort to address the increasing poverty and homelessness, collapsing educational systems in poor neighborhoods, and its racial underpinnings. Instead, we see austerity measures or quantitative easing of $21 trillion being repeatedly entertained by the White House and Congress as a means to make the U.S. more economically soluble. You have made many efforts over the years to address the problems of poverty both in the United States and developing nations. What would you advise Congress to adopt in order to lessen the rate of poverty?
Well, I'd like to see Congress adopt democracy. You know, you talk about the efforts I've made over the years. I've been very active in the nonprofit world, activism. But what I've come to understand, that I think many of us realize, is that no amount of private charity can compensate for a basic lack of social justice. And Congress today is a bought and paid for subsidiary of the corporate matrix that has taken it over. That's what's happening here. So over the last few decades, Congress has siphoned off very specifically and systematically through banking laws, through tax laws, through trade laws. I mean, these things did not come just mysteriously out of the ethers. We have systematically, Congress has, siphoned off major portions of the material resources of our country into the hands of a very few people. So then if you have 1% controlling 43% of the wealth and 60% of your people living on 2.3% of your wealth, how could you not have the vast amounts of unnecessary human suffering that you just described? So asking Congress to fix that, Congress, the political establishment cannot be looked to fix this problem. The political establishment created this problem. You were saying earlier, before I came on, they are the disease. So looking to them to treat the symptoms when they are the disease is just getting sillier every day. And I don't mean them as individuals. You know, there's some very good people, and you mentioned a few of them, but they're shackled by this system. So we need a people's movement. The only way we will have a fundamental course correction, a fundamental pattern interruption here, is if we do have an independent movement, as you were saying. Because both major parties, not that I'm saying they're the same, I don't believe they're the same, but underneath, they are both so often and in so many ways beholden to that corporate matrix, that multinational corporate matrix. So to ask, you know, what can Congress do? You know, Congress can stop injecting into the body politic the very disease that we're then asking them to fix. The people who need to wake up here is the American people.
I appreciate that. I personally feel that those corporations and those corporate leaders who promote and advance falsehoods that jeopardize the well-being of people through lies and deception should be held criminally accountable. I also believe that any corporation that is found to, with malice aforethought, meaning pre-knowledge, that what they were doing is a product or a service, was going to undermine the health of the environment or individuals should have their charter revoked. And the people then no longer protected or indemnified personally. And then see how many corporations like the Koch brothers and ALEC, the American Legislative Change Councils, you know, 300 corporations, would then be in there trying to influence state legislators or federal legislators, knowing full well that they're not protected. They're just like you and I. If you and I commit a crime, we're held accountable by a jury of our peers, and they will decide our fate. Why can't we hold the same principles to the corporations of this country?
Well, we can't because they own Congress. So Congress is their protector. And what they have done through that, through their influence because of their financial power, not only on Congress but on the White House, they have been able to de-juice and defang both the Environmental Protection Agency and the Food and Drug Administration, and now obviously the FCC with its assault on net neutrality. So that's why I stand so passionately for a constitutional amendment. It took an amendment to outlaw slavery. It took an amendment to give women the right to vote. And it will take, especially since the McCutcheon decision and since the Citizens United decision, the hands of Congress are so tied behind their back, even if they wanted to make these changes. So we need a constitutional amendment to outlaw the undue influence of money and to establish the corporations do not have the rights of personhood. And we need to elect more independent candidates who are naming what's going on exactly as you just named it. You know, you were talking about Grayson before. He came out here last week to campaign for me. He has endorsed my candidacy because we need more people actually saying this. And too many people, even within the so-called liberal establishment in Congress, once again, they address the symptoms, but they won't name the disease. And that's because the system itself has become so diseased. So, you know, even with what you're talking about, the corporate charter, you bring up a very important issue. You know, a lot of people don't realize we could have these charters looked at every 5 years. It's not like we act like they're, you know, they have become the lords of the universe. They've become the masters of the universe. But it was never intended to be that way. They have no right to function that way. And I believe the American people absolutely have the right, certainly morally, to hold those corporations accountable in a way that they are certainly not being held accountable today. The very governmental forces that we thought would hold them accountable are actually advocating for them, chopping wood for them, carrying water for them as often as not, if not more often than not.
I'm going to ask you a series of questions. I would like for you to give me just yes or no answers, if you would, please.
Okay.
All right?
Okay.
We can, at another time, I'd be happy for you to go into each one what the yes or no represented. But
okay.
This will give us an idea of where you stand if you were to go to Congress, all right?
Okay.
Would you seek to actively overturn Citizens United?
Yes.
Would you seek universal health care?
Yes.
Would you seek to close down our nuclear power plants and move green?
Yes.
Would you invest in renewable technologies to stop fracking and reliance on fossil fuels?
Yes.
Would you close down the privatized prison system and stop the mass incarceration?
Yes.
Okay. Separately.
Those were easy, by the way.
All right. Now, would you reinstate the Glass-Steagall Act to again separate savings and loans banking from speculative investment banking?
Yes.
Would you ban trading in commodities that are necessary to life, such as food, water, and that are essential?
Would I ban? What do you say? That one I did not understand.
In other words, ban trading in commodities, meaning the people who will speculate on the price of oil without ever buying a gallon of oil, just so that we have to pay a lot more for it so they can make a profit from it.
Yes.
Okay,
yes,
good.
Yes, yes.
Would you support a thorough investigation into the background and corporate institutional influence of Obama's secretive Atlantic and Pacific trade partnerships?
Absolutely, yes.
Would you stop the Federal Reserve from giving any more no-interest loans to banks and corporations?
Yes.
Would you declare a moratorium on all home foreclosures?
Yes.
Would you forgive all student loan late fees and cap all interest rates at student loans at 1%?
Yes.
Would you allow students to be able to regain a sense of ability to get out if they are bankrupt, to file bankruptcy, which now they cannot do?
Yes.
Would you repeal the Bush bankruptcy law? Yes, you said that. Would you revise the bankruptcy laws instituted by George Bush, particularly concerning those who otherwise would be stuck with the debt forever?
Yes.
Would you create a national food program to see that the 16 million hungry children in America are fed?
Yes.
Would you de-ghettoize America's program of food distribution, bypassing corporations and working directly with local communities?
Yes.
Would you create a program for reforestation, planting bushes, shrubs, and trees by the hundreds of millions throughout the states to capture the carbon and gainfully employ mainly younger people in these jobs?
Yes.
Would you recreate a program for skilled labor, of using our infrastructure repair, levees, bridges, waterways, gas mains, water lines?
Yes.
Would you support senior citizens with free community hospital service and food co-ops?
Yes.
Would you close and decommission the nuclear power plant? You said that earlier. And would you put energy into its geothermal and wave energy?
Yes.
Would you ban all private funding of any election, taking corporate money out of politics, and take all corporate money out of politics?
Yes.
Would you start to demilitarize our forces around the world with over 1,000 bases and close those that are not essential?
Yes.
Would you conduct an investigation into the influence of corporations such as Monsanto on American foreign policy, mandatory GMO labeling, and conduct independent research to determine GMO's safety as claimed?
Yes.
Would you cease gas hydrofracking and offshore drilling?
Yes.
Would you audit the Federal Reserve and the Department of Defense, Homeland Security, and the CIA, reducing their budgets to what is actually necessary to protect America, which is about $200 billion, not $1.6 trillion?
Yes.
Would you allow all corporations that cannot be maintained to go through structured bankruptcy instead of a bailout?
Yes.
Would you ban lobbying from state and federal offices on them, like Alex?
Corporate lobbying.
Yes, corporate lobbyists.
Not citizen lobbying, yes.
No. Would you create a national preventative health program?
Yes.
Would you create special halfway houses and even professionally done tent cities for returning veterans so that they can be helped with post-traumatic stress disorder, Gulf War syndrome, and the problems of medication and drugs and alcohol so that they do not go home in a toxic state?
Yes.
Would you acknowledge the dangers of depleted uranium in our conflict zones where we've used it, from the Balkans to other countries, and go in there and try to remove it?
Yes.
Okay, those are my harder questions.
Mm-hmm.
Well, good for you, because if you will maintain that strength of character, then we wish you all the best in your efforts. And we have
a lot
of people listening right now from California and
from your district.
So
I very much appreciate it. People can go to marianneforcongress.com, MARIANNE, or Marianne Williamson for Congress, and I very much appreciate what you've said about how the political establishment today, particularly the two major parties, are so part of this, so beholden to this corporate takeover, that independent voices really matter at this point, an independent force field. And I think that my election will inspire other independents around the country, which is what we really need. We need a movement. Just one person here or there will not be able to make this happen. So thank you very, very much for giving me this opportunity to express myself and really just agree with you on everything you said so far.
Well, my hope is that you get out there and get into some of the populist movements in California on Jeanette marching against Monsanto. That's a
I already have, absolutely.
Oh, good.
No, absolutely. I spoke at the march against Monsanto. You can see that video actually on my on my page under the video section. Very concerned, of course. We have a former vice president of policy at Monsanto, who is now deputy food czar. We had as one of our issues for him just the other day, Robin O'Brien, who you have probably spoken to before.
Yes, we have.
On food. No, we're all over it here. But, you know,
right.
One of the reasons, once again, why I see getting money out of politics as the underlying issue is because we will not be able to deal with the corruption of our food supply, with genetically modified foods, with the Roundup, with the herbicides, with the pesticides, until we deal with that, moneyed issue, because the chemical companies and the big biotech agricultural companies are allowed to legally bribe. So right now, when you were mentioning earlier the Trans-Pacific Partnership, Trans-Pacific Partnership would give Monsanto the ability to sanction the U.S. government, fine the U.S. government for lost projected earnings should the American people pass a law about GMOs. That's what makes it a multinational corporate coup.
Yeah, and there's 75,000 foreign corporations that would be able to participate in that treaty. Could you imagine the lawsuits? We would have no rights whatsoever. We would become we would become just a complete basket case. So good for you, Marianne Williamson. Nice to speak with you from Southern California. All the best in your race results.
Thank you so much. All my best. Bye-bye.
Bye. That's our Conversations with Remarkable Minds, bringing higher moral and spiritual ethics back into politics. That's what I'd like to see. We put it up front. What is a progressive? A progressive is simple. It is an independent thinking person that seeks the truth away from the consensus. That's all it is. And that's what we try to do. And that's what we try to share. And if you wonder for a moment how many of us there are, Google right now. If you're at a computer, Google right now, Seeds of Death, the film. As of just now, 28,200,000 searches. And look at how many the film is on every page, every listing. Now Google the war on health, 328 million. You heard me right, 328 million search results. And we're at the top 13 pages, I think. There's not just a few of us. There are hundreds of millions of us seeking the truth in different ways. And we are not going to be dealt with passively in the future. We will be standing up and actively protesting nonviolently by pulling ourselves off their grid and going towards a more democratic and authoritative way of living, authentic living. Thank you. Look forward to sharing more on the next program. Let's say hello to you, Trees Lead. Hi, you Trees.
Hello, Gary. Today it's Free Your Mind Friday on Lead Stories, and listeners have their say.
Great. You Trees Lead right now.